The Morning Stream is brought to you largely in part by your support. Go to patreon.com/TMS and give whatever you can for a fraction of the cost for other kinds of entertainment and programming. You get a ton of crap from us each and every month. That's patreon.com/TMS. Become one of the many who are supporting this show directly. You are our favorite boss. Again, patreon.com/TMS. Coming up on TMS, Scott is a terrible gardener.
The bird is ready to get the hell out of here.
Five things garbage men know about you.
Naked dude wants to read a few verses.
Bieber gets egg on his face.
Christian Bale as Harry Potter.
Ooh. Therapy Thursday takes on fitness pressure.
Your emails and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
Nintendo has introduced some hot new toys, but have things gone a bit too far? This evening, Ken Shockley wraps up a special report on video mania.
Does this really have to cost this much? Where should the anger be directed? Not at the parents, but at the manufacturer.
So it has come to this. Therapy sessions for families whom you could call Nintendo-pendant.
First of all, the peer pressure starts. I feel maybe exploited.
Psychologists' offices might get more crowded this holiday season. Just in time for Christmas, the Japanese toy maker Nintendo has come out with a new set of electronic video games. Odor. The Morning Stream.
The Morning Stream. We just wanted more fish. They wouldn't give us any more fish.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to The Morning Stream. We should do an opera version of the show. You know how they do that?
Sure.
Like on Community or...
Buffy,
sure. Yeah. Where they just sing the whole time. They just did this on This American Life like a couple of weeks ago.
A whole musical episode, huh?
Yeah. It'd be fun, right? I don't think I could I don't think I could do it. I think we'd have to hire stand-ins to do it.
Hello, Fresh. You're the food for me. Coming to my house via delivery.
See, you'd have to rhyme everything. It'd be hard.
Yeah.
Florida man. Does everything a Florida man can. I don't know what it would be. Hello, everybody. It's The Morning Stream
We have to have a whisper. Song. Florida man.
Florida man. Yeah, like a hair production.
Florida man.
Yeah,
exactly, right.
Lots of snapping.
West Side Story.
Yeah, totally. It's July 10th, 2014. It's Thursday. And that means Therapy Thursday later. We got some cool stuff lined up today. So keep on listening. Don't go anywhere. We're right here. We're right here for you. It's me. It's Brian. And we got stuff. So real quick here, I got to mention something. So I'm having a hard time this morning. You want to know why?
Sure. Tell me why.
My thumbs feel like I have been, they have been stung by 1,000 bees, both thumbs. And I think it's because,
somebody kick you in the butt.
So somebody swung by the house. When I say somebody, my in-laws, my mother-in-law and my father-in-law stopped by the house yesterday on their way home from working. They own some property uptown and they were coming back from working on it. And, they looked a little frazzled. Apparently the people that had been renting from them were, clandestinely, sort of doing drugs and dealing them. And it was kind of a mess. And so they're trying to evict them and get their crap out of there. And I guess the carpet has stains on it that are unidentifiable and, you know, and all that. Big pain. Another reminder why I will never, I don't care how good the money might smell, I am not interested in landlording property.
Oh, God, no kidding.
I really am not.
Some people have the patience and the tolerance for that. I don't think I would. All right, you'll get out. Just get out. I'm done.
If I did it, I think I would have to hire a dude to manage it for me.
Sure, all the maintenance and all the...
Yeah, I couldn't do it. Oh, my gosh.
You must pay the rent.
But I can't pay the rent. So that's not interesting to me at all. But they're on their way of getting out of it, and they're a little grumpy. But they wanted to walk around the house and see what Kim had done with flowers and, you know, all this stuff this summer and spring. Because they haven't been over in a while. So we did that. We were walking around, and they had dinner before. And I went out, and I noticed, man, these windstorms had kicked up a bunch of weed seeds from the field to our north, between us and the lake, and those seeds had blown over onto our lawn.
Weed seeds is my Grateful Dead cover band.
They do British covers of American pop songs. Is that what's going on?
Yeah, that's it, yes.
So that's a reference only about five people got just now. Seriously, they should write in. They should. You did. I knew you. You're now. Yes. There's now. We're down to four. People got to write in and tell us that they heard that. But anyway, so these seeds had blown over, and they're just different kinds of, like, you know, annoying kind of choking grass kind of seeds, and they had gathered around the edges of where the lawn was, because before this windstorm, none of these were there, and now there's these little weeds popping up. So I thought, well, I'll go out there, put on the green thumbs, right? Freaking house management man, gardener man out there. You know, I don't do this very often, but I went out and I got down on my hands and knees and I started pulling weeds. So I'm pulling weeds out of the edge of the grass. And what I'm not noticing is, this is like the kid who runs through jellyfish on the beach and didn't know that they were stinging his feet the entire time.
Until he finally sits down or gets into the car. And
yep, exactly.
Right.
So I hold my hands up after I'm done doing this, and I'm like, my fingers hurt or something. And I didn't really feel it at the time, because apparently these little barbs in these weeds, this particular weed, are so small that I couldn't tell it was happening. But they were like little pincushions now, my thumbs. Mm. So I thought, well, whatever, that'll pass. It's not bleeding or anything. I'm fine. About, I don't know, 2 a.m, I wake up with the most raging, burning thumb pain.
Oh, no.
Both my thumbs, I wake, and they're blue. They're not blue, but they're kind of like puffy and red. I mean, basically what it was is this weed is not only prickly down there at the base where you pull it out, but it also excretes just a little bit of poison, not enough to kill a guy or anything.
Sure, just enough to cause some burning discomfort.
Yeah, burning discomfort. That's exactly there's your medical FDA approved term. So
my Justin Bieber cover band.
So imagine me
burning discomfort.
Right, exactly. So my that's a good one. So imagine, you know, this poor sack of a human being at 2 a.m. with just one small light on in the hall to emit enough light in the bathroom. And I'm standing there. My hair looks like it's, you know, I've been in a zombie movie. And I'm looking in the mirror with my thumbs under cold water. Just the thumbs, just kind of holding them there for about 5 minutes in my horrible slumped posture. And it was the worst sight. It's like, well, who is that guy? When did I become that thing? Just today? Or has this been going on for a while? Or what is happening? Anyway, pretty bad. Pretty ugly. They're fine now, though. They don't hurt as much. They're a little tender, you know?
Yeah.
Just
are they
tender.
Swollen or red?
No,
or
just a little pink, you know? Little pink thumbs.
No, dual shock for you for a little
No,
long?
Probably not. No geometry wars for sure.
Oh, geez. Yeah. Shooting the shapes.
Yeah, I might. You know, that is the object of that game. So shoot the shapes.
Shoot the shapes.
So that'll happen. But in the good news is, though, here around the Johnson home is that the bird, we call him the undead bird, because that's the bird that didn't die.
The bird who lived.
The bird who lived. While one may have perished because of my wheel of my car, the other one has lived, and it is doing great, and it's about to go, man. And that thing is ready to leave. I think today might be the day. It's going to finally get the confidence to blow out of here. But he's kind of attached to us. And I've heard this happens with robins. He's a robin, it turns out.
Okay.
By the way, robins, when they're little, ugly as hell. Mm-hmm. They're beautiful when they're adults, but man, talk about your, that could have been
wait until they become Nightwing, and then they're much cooler.
Exactly. Looking. Right. They go from Dick Grayson to Dick Grayson. So, he's ready to fly, and we're feeding him worms. So if those worried about my Vine video where we seem to be feeding him nothing but fruit, that's just in between. It's actually okay for them to have fruit. You don't want to feed them too much fruit. But here's something I've learned about birds. Okay. A, you can take care of them. And they may attach to you and they may not want to leave, but we're going to make them leave. That's number one. Mm-hmm. Number two, we learned that too much fruit is not good because he becomes basically a jelly excreter. He just sits there and poops jelly all day. That's not good.
He's a marmalade machine.
Yeah,
nice.
Basically. Very yeah, good. This is making, oh, look at that. It's like it's from Vermont making your fine jelly. And then the third thing I learned is that's just what a bird does. They poo all the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Constantly. Like there is no, you know.
It's not that they like to poop on statues. It's that they like to sit on statues.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. That's like saying to you, Brian, hey, while you're here in public, you need to stop breathing. For them, it's the same. It's just like, I'm going to sit here blah, 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 and just poo 50 times.
Wow, Brian sure likes to listen to music on the subway. No, Brian rides the subway. He likes to listen to music everywhere.
Right. That's exactly. Oh, that's a great. That is a perfect metaphor. Nicely done.
Sure.
So this bird just is a crap machine, and that's hard because when you're trying to maintain it and care for it, and occasionally hold it, you know, put it on your perch it on your finger. It's crapped on Nick's hand like 8 times. And there's just no getting around it. Yeah. On me a couple of times.
Sure.
So anyway, off he goes. I forgot the name we gave it.
I'm hoping that that you have to do one of those things like you always see in the movies where the bird's really attached to you, but you need it to go off on its own. No, we don't like you anymore. Go away. We don't want you here. Go.
Right. Like Arya's wolf.
Yeller or whatever it was. Yeah, Arya's wolf. Yeah, right. Yeah.
Another good example. Gotta throw a big old stone in its face to get it out of here. I hope we don't have to do that. I mean, I'll pull out the car and go, vroom, vroom, get out of here. Go.
Exactly.
Anyway, I forgot what we named it, but my daughter yesterday goes, I'm going to miss it, Dad. And I said, oh, I know, but this is best for it. It needs to be in the wild. It needs to be out where it's supposed to be. And she goes, yeah, he'll be okay. And I said, hey, by the way, how do we know it's a he? We keep referring to it as a he. And she goes, well, of course it's a he, Dad. And I said, well, how do we know that? She goes, I don't know. It just is, she says to me.
Well, does it have the red breast?
Yeah. Does that mean it's a boy? She doesn't know this, though.
I'm thinking that's what I'm thinking is that the
there ain't no big wiener sticking out, or it doesn't have a bulge or anything, if you know what I mean. I mean, that's not what I'm saying. Yeah, you may be right. Maybe there's some kind of plumage.
I know that there's, exactly, the color.
Ooh, I don't like the word plumage. I don't like saying
plumage.
It. Plumage. It's plumage. Got
beautiful plumage.
The dead parrot deal.
Yep.
Yep, nicely done. All right. Good memories. Good times.
Let's see here. I'm telling you. I'm finding it out really quick.
All right. All right. Yeah, you take your time. You got it. Totally fine.
Male. Let's see. Adult male. Oh, they all have red breasts. Okay. Well, so much for that.
Huh. You're probably right, though. It seems like every bird's got some kind of weird strutting around, attract to females kind of thing.
Sure.
Exactly. Or the females sometimes are the ones that are crazy decorated. I don't know. Like, if you go to the Amazon, there's birds. The males all look like little scrubs, look stupid and terrible. And the women birds are like these beautiful, just, you know, gorgeous spread of wings and all that. I guess that's to attract the males.
Right. But usually the other way around, though. Males are the ones that are.
They're trying to. The women.
Usually the more colorful.
Oh, right. Because they have to fight the other males or do their dance or whatever to try to win the hearts.
They attract the females.
Yeah. I mean, I guess humans kind of do that, right? We do that a little bit.
So the female is less brightly colored red than the male.
Oh, I have no other bird to compare it to, though. I guess I could look it up. The internet does have photos, I've heard. That's the thing. visual references on the internet.
As a matter of fact, who just posted this one that I'm looking at now? Thorin did.
Thorin.
So if you scroll up a little ways, then you'll see the...
Oh, yeah, here we go.
Male versus the female.
Okay, so let me see if I can tell from this. Thorin, here we go. Totally a male then.
Okay.
All right, my daughter's right. I think it was just her intuition, but yeah. That is definitely there that bird. Go.
Yeah, the mallards, for example, have the big green heads, the female.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
We have some mallards at the lake, and there's one with a very green head.
Mm-hmm. That's a male. He's a boy.
He's hot to trot, baby.
Check out my big green head, ladies.
Speaking of reproduction and replenishing your species, I am super stoked to announce that a friend of the program, to some he's like, who's this guy? But to us, he's family. It's JJ Valentine and Renee Valentine, cowboy, a.k.a. cowboy, had twins yesterday.
Yay!
Successfully. They look wonderful. Both
they do.
5+ pounds each and healthy.
Their names are Scatella and Brianina.
Yep, exactly. Isn't that weird?
Yeah.
They sound like bread spreads in Germany or something.
Yeah, Scatella.
Yeah. Mm. Oh, yeah, Scatella is very good in my homeland. Yeah. So we just want to say grats to them. The babies look very healthy so far, so good. Everything's good. Mom's good.
Yay.
They were troopers. They were there all day. I think in the morning they thought it was any time, and then it didn't happen until like late evening. So hats off to Renee more than JJ. JJ, I hope you had plenty of ice chips and
right,
a
exactly.
cool rag on your head or something. But yeah.
Hey, I hope you enjoyed all the sleep you got before.
Yeah, because they went from nothing to they got man-to-man defense now.
Yeah, exactly.
One-on-one. You go have a third at zone. Oh, man. It's tough. It's tough business being a parent. Two babies crying. Two babies hungry. Two babies crapping in a diaper. Double up, man. Double up.
Good luck. Good luck.
Good luck. All right. We can't wait to. We'll talk to JJ when things settle down, and we'll kind of see how the new family's doing. Let's call Daryl.
Okay.
I want to.
because that's what we do at this point in the show.
Yeah, it is.
I mean, by the way, those of you out there who did get the Secret Identity CDs or are getting the Secret Identity CDs, yes, you will be getting a collector's item edition that has the disc one contents on disc two and the disc two contents on disc one.
Weird.
It is confirmed.
Is that that's all I'll say about that then.
Yeah, it was, you know, my labeling was correct. Yeah. My, the track names, everything that I submitted to disc makers was correct. But when I uploaded the music, yeah, the order I uploaded the songs,
yeah,
unbeknownst to me, cause I was uploading tracks that had names on them that matched what I put on the damn track list.
Yeah, yeah.
You'd think they'd look at that.
Yeah.
The order I ordered, uploaded them was disc two, then disc one. So they, they treated that as
so the entire run is flipped then?
Entire run. So I'm making stickers to go on the outsides of each of these called Special Crossover Edition.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah. Amalgam Edition.
Yeah. I actually kind of knew this from last night. But yes, this is exciting. Yes. I love that. I love how you have taken what could be like, you know, heads are going to roll to a creative, you know, fix.
Right. Lemons into lemonade is
that's
what it
right
is.
That's exactly the I couldn't think of what the hell I was going to say. Nicely done. All right, here we go. Drop your skinning and throw your linen. It's time for the Stump a Trek Nerd segment here on the Morning Stream, and it is brought to you by...
Hey, do you like death rays, space lizards, chemtrails, and mind control? Too bad. Join the Weekly Bleep as we take down conspiracy theories, talk tech, and screw up the news. That's theweeklybleep.com because it just got silly.
Screw Up the News is a really good name for a podcast.
Yes. You think? Well,
here it's Screw Up the News. I know, not at all, but it's still a good name.
But Screw Up the News. That would be good, actually.
Screw Up the News.
Take that and run with the run with that, folks.
All right. I'm making a new show. Coming to Frog Pants
soon.
Screw
Up the News.
Screw Up the News. A nightly news program with me, Walter Cronkite. Cronkite. Yeah,
Cronkite. Perfect. Cronkite.
Daryl Skeels is on the line. He is the Trek nerd here on the program. Comes on, talks about Star Trek trivia. We give him a question. He tries to answer it, and we have a little fun along the way. Daryl, how you doing?
I'm good.
That's fantastic. Let's get to it then. Let's jump right in. Let's do what we do. And Daryl, here is your question. It is Next Generation episode related. It is regarding the episode The First Duty. The First Duty.
That's what Renee and JJ are experiencing right now.
And the double duty is what that is.
Yes.
First Duty, Wesley and his homies. Oh, geez, Mike. in Nova Squadron are under investigation after the death of a member of the flight team. This is that whole thing where Commander Paris is a different character, same actor.
Right.
The investigation isn't going well, and Picard says or pays a visit to Boothby. Boothby, he's the groundskeeper guy, tells Picard that Nova Squadron won a very prestigious cup. What cup does Boothby say the Nova Squadron won? Was it A, the Rigel Cup, B, the Teller Cup, C, the Jupiter Cup, D, Andoria Cup, or E, two girls, one cup? Just kidding. E doesn't exist. So Rigel Cup. You know what? I've never seen that. I still don't know what the hell it is. That two girls, one cup thing? That viral whatever? I've never saw it.
Yeah, I've never seen it either, but I do know what it is.
No. Well, I don't want to know. I feel like I feel like I've been safely harbored from that.
Yeah. No, you're right in avoiding it.
All right. I'm not going near it.
I think I watched about 2 seconds of it, and I decided bad things are going to come of this, and then I stopped.
Yeah.
There's nothing good that can happen from this point.
There's something with ice cream, I heard. That's all I know, is there's ice cream involved. Is that not true? You laugh as if that's not true. It must not be true.
I don't think that's true, but I think it's really funny that I know probably why that description came about.
Okay. So it's nothing to – you know what? It's probably way worse than I think it is. I'll bet you. I'm going to stay innocent on this one. I'm going to stay innocent on this one. I don't know what's going on.
How bad do you think it is?
I don't know. All I know is everyone says it's terrible. That's all I have to go on. And people who I know with very strong constitutions for such things think it's horrible. And
again, not having seen it.
Yeah.
But knowing what it is, yeah. I think that it's just as bad as you imagine.
Okay. All right, good. Well,
it's probably not yogurt soda.
All right, probably not. Although, goodness, that stuff. Whew.
Yeah,
Hammond was threatening to buy more of that on Twitter yesterday. I'm like, no, we're good. We don't need any more of that. No more. None more. I don't even care if it was bad or good. I don't care. I don't want it. Rigel Cup, Teller Cup, Jupiter Cup, or Andoria Cup are your possible answers. While you mull that over, and I find my soundboard, we play this.
Are you hungry?
Aren't you hungry?
Watch a foodie.
Shut up, fool!
All right, we're going to do... Oops. We're going to do... we're going to keep ripping through this chocolate here. I think today... Why not that white one? The white pattern paisley tie looking thing?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, mine just... Top came off. That's not good. Hold on.
Well, the...
Here, I'll pry it out with my Stormtrooper... my Stormtrooper rifle blaster that I somehow have on the table here. I don't know why.
Yeah, it's funny how this one does seem to be nestled in its little cubby more than the others.
Mine just fell apart bad. I think I got enough to try it, though.
I can't get this out at all. There we go. I'm just gonna pop it in from the
bottom. Really good. Okay, hold on.
Yeah, I don't even have it out of the case yet, and you've already consumed it.
That's all right. I'm going to read.
Yeah, it's a lot softer than the other chocolates.
I pinched it, and it crushed very easily.
Yeah. Uh-huh. It's like a bird under a tire. Let's see. Cassia. This is milk chocolate fresh cream with a touch of honey and cassia cinnamon. Cassia, am I saying that right? C-A-S-S-I-A?
Sure.
Yeah.
I don't know, but it sure is good.
That's really good. Hard to get it out, though. Mine's still kind of buried in there.
Yeah, it's...
I swamp.
Good catch, Daryl.
I know.
Jeez. We missed that one entirely. All right. Yeah, that's lovely. These are good.
I continue to think these were a good choice for my chain of hotels and casinos.
Now it's Andre the Giant.
Oh, wow. That's kind of Andre-ish now that I hear myself say it. All right. Well done. Now, a
couple of these left, too.
Yeah, yeah. We're almost done with these. And then we'll move on to that mystery box over there. Mine that came in a bin. You guys got an actual box. Mine came in shatters. We'll see what I can salvage from it. Daryl, let's go on to a birthday. Let's celebrate. Who is it?
On Sunday, it'll be Patrick Stewart's birthday.
What? He doesn't age.
Who did he play?
Some guy.
Minor role, yeah. But who? What? How old?
74.
Oh, wow. I think the guy looks great for 74.
Mm-hmm.
He is by the way, if you want to have a little bit of fun, you want to see how truly, strikingly handsome this guy was when he was in his early 20s, just do a... Patrick Stewart Young search on Google Images.
Justin Robert Young's brother, yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
Patrick Stewart Young.
Dashing young man. Just as handsome as you would expect him to be. And hair, too. Full head
it's
of hair.
It's funny to see him with hair, though. Mm-hmm. He looks like Aaron Eckhart.
A little bit, yeah. I would say a little Aaron Eckhart in there. A little bit of, crap. Watson in the Sherlock movies.
Martin Freeman?
No, that's the TV one. The movies, the ones with Iron Man.
Basil Rathbone. Gotcha. Jude Law.
Jude Law. Thank you. Jeez. Couldn't think of Jude Law to save my life. Yeah, he looks a little Jude Law-ish to me in those old pictures. Anyway, that's fun to do. Also, Gandalf is a super handsome guy when he was younger. Go look him up. Now he sings everything he says.
What do you think, child?
Anyway. Let's do this. You ready, Daryl? You ready for your question again? Or do you want to be reminded? Or you got it? You know what you're doing?
Oh, you better remind me.
All right. It's this first duty episode, and there's a cup that these guys won. And it was
not war, but one.
One, correct.
One.
One. W-O-N.
One cup.
One.
Two squadrons, one cup.
One groundskeeper, one captain, and one cup. Oh, boy. Rigel Cup, the Teller Cup, the Jupiter Cup, or the Andoria Cup?
Well, all these last three just sound silly. Well, no, I guess the first one does, too.
The Teller Cup's pretty good, except it doesn't say anything.
Meh, yeah. Get it. Meh, doesn't talk. Meh, Teller. Teller, get it. Teller.
Jeez.
Yeah.
And the third, what was the third one?
The third one is the Jupiter Cup.
Oh, that's stupid. That's like lost in space. It's fat.
It's all
bad.
Big and gaseous. Get it? Like Jupiter, get it? Uh-huh. I'm just going to keep going.
Keep going.
All right. All right, Daryl, what's next here then?
And it's not the Andorian cup because that, I don't know.
This one says Andoria, not Andorian, so I assume it's.
Well, that's even more wrong.
Yeah. Well, an Andorian is of Andoria. Well, yeah.
I don't know.
Andoria would be the planet. Andorian would be the person on the planet, right?
Yeah. And the cup would be a cup from Andoria,
right,
which would be Andorian.
Oh, an Andorian cup. Oh, that's a good point. But it would be like saying Earth cup instead of Earthen or Earthling cup. Like Earthling cup would be the same as saying Andorian cup, right?
I guess.
I don't freaking know. Who knows? It's all made up anyway.
I don't know. I'm going to choose A because I'm pretty sure that's what it is anyway.
Rigel cup, you say. Well, let's find out from our judges. Is it Rigel? It is.
Congratulations!
Wow.
You're a winner!
Unbelievable. Daryl has done it. Rigel Cup. He tells Picard they won the Rigel Cup, and the resulting celebration made the Parisi Square?
Yeah.
Okay, sure. Celebration of 23-24 look like a dinner party. Here is a clip of that, or something like that. Here you go.
Boothbit, tell me some more about Nova Squadron.
Not going well, is it?
No, it isn't.
You remember the Parisi Squares tournament of 24?
The final game against Minsk.
It took me 3 weeks to repair the grounds after the celebration.
We had a lot to celebrate. Our team wasn't supposed to win. We were very proud of them.
Well, the cadets today are just as proud of the Nova Squadron. The celebration they held after Nova won the Rigel Cup made 24 look like a dinner party.
Spicoli.
Thank you, Mr. Hand.
You can't bring pizza into class. All right. Good job. Daryl has done it. And that is because
you're absolutely right. If this is our time, why can't we enjoy a little pizza on our time?
Was he not in either of the Grumpy Old Men movies?
I have no idea.
Hmm.
I don't think I ever saw either of those.
I did. They were funny. Jack Lemmon was good in that.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I just have a memory of that. I know Burgess Meredith was in this, in both of them, I think. Anyway, and I always get, for some unknown reason, I know them completely differently. I know they're different guys completely, but I get Burgess Meredith and that dude, Ray Walston, mixed up. And I don't know why.
They're both kind of crusty.
Yeah, there you go. Mm-hmm. A little bit crusty. Like Daryl when he does the Grumpy Cast. Go check that out. You can also find him at This Week in Trek at thisweekintrek.com and on the internet, as on Twitter anyway, as the Trek Nerd. All right, Daryl, what do we, you know what? I didn't cap it yet. Did I? I may have capped something for you. Hold on. Did I? I did. Here we go. You guys want to hear this?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. Brian, you want to hear this?
Yeah, of course I do.
All right, here we go. Here's a little bit of Daryl at Nerdtacular. Check it out.
There's a little song that a lot of you know, but I bet you didn't know that there were words to it.
Yeah, listen to this. It's good.
And that goes something like this. 1930, 1930, 1930, 1930, 1930, 1930, 1930, 1930, 1930, 1930, 1930, 1930, 1930, 1930, 1930, 1930, 1930, 1930, 1930, 1930, 1930, 1930, 1930, 1930, 1930, 1930, 1930, 1930, 1930, 1930, 1930, 1930, 1930, 1930, 1930, 1930, 1930, 1930, 1930, 1930, 1930, 1930, 1930, 1930, 1930, 1930, 1930, 1930, 1930, 1930, 1930, 1930, 1930, 1930, 1930, 1930, 1930, 1930, 1930, 1930, 1930, 1930, 1930, 1930, 1930, 1930, 1930, 1930, 1930, 1930, 1930, 1930, 1930, 1930, 1930, 1930, 1930, 1930, 1930, 1930, 1930, 1930, 1930, 1930, 1930, 1930, 1930, 1930, 1930, 1930, 1930, 1930, 1930, 1930, 1930, 1930,
in the concert came from that moment.
Yep.
It's crazy.
I'm pretty sure that's the only one, right? I mean, we
that
get
was the Scott Fletcher Enterprise of the year, I think.
Yeah, it totally was. Nicely done. Daryl, why don't you now play a game against us called some kind of weird wood or Star Trek thing or whatever you're
gonna okay. Do. Yeah, Star Trek thing or flooring material.
All right, got it.
Oh, and I got to say something. During that 1930 thing, yeah. I put microphones in people's faces. I hate it when people do that to me. I absolutely hate it. So I am sorry if I stuck a microphone in somebody's face.
Well, here, let's hear that part. Hold on.
1930.
That's you shoving it in, like, Andrew's face.
Andrew Allen's face and Dennis and the bass player, yeah.
And eventually in the faces of some crowd people. And yeah.
Some people who weren't ready for it.
Yeah.
And listen
to those guys.
Listen to this part.
1930! Yeah!
Listen to that crowd. Dude, they were into it. All right. Okay. Oh, play your game, damn it. What do you got?
Okay. Star Trek thing or flooring material.
All right. Here's your
theme. Oh, I said that already.
Oh, yeah.
I?
Well, here's your theme right here.
Bluey.
Bluey. Okay, go.
Fez-dura.
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 Maybe I pronounced that wrong. Vez-dura.
Oh, Vez.
Vez
with a V.
V-E-S-D-U-R-A.
Vez-dura. Mm-hmm.
Because of the part that says dura, I'm like, feeling
like durable
flooring material. Yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of where I'm at. We're going to say, we'll say flooring material.
Yeah, you're discounting the Klingons there, but you're right anyway. It's the final time.
I freaking made that up. Nice. Didn't expect
close.
You to be duped like that.
Television highlights of the news of yesteryear.
It's the news.
And it's brought to you by Ellen Bone was once known as Lady Illidarian and produced lore segments for the podcasts Epic Dolls and Liquid Wow. She filled in as guest host a few times on each show. She now works in IT in a flooded market of New Mexico. She's making too much money for federal benefits, but not enough to insure herself. This is an opportunity for podcast listeners to help a content producer in a real way. I hope you can find it in your heart to give a few dollars. She's really asking just a pittance compared to what others might need. Visit GoFundMe. GoFundMe.com/B19A0. That's all lowercase. GoFundMe.com/B19A0.
There you go.
We should probably have somebody create a tiny URL.
Yeah,
for
we
that
could
one.
Do that. That shouldn't be a problem. Make Mike do it. five horrifying things only garbage men know about your town and about you, Brian.
About me. Me?
About you.
About me? What do they know about me?
This is a Cracked article, which, not all is always, it's often parody and things, but sometimes they cover actual stuff. They're no onion, let's put it that way. Mm-hmm. Number five, your trash collector knows all your secrets. So, Brian, when you throw out your copy of Horse Porn Weekly, they know about it.
They know. They uh-huh. see it. They make a note of that.
They make a note of it. They know what's going on. I don't know if I ever told you this.
They probably do see all right, well, that guy just got a new big screen TV because there's
totally,
the box and
totally.
He's selling his lawnmower. Mm-hmm. And
or that guy's wife throws out a lot of shoes. What's going on with her?
Right.
Buying a lot of shoes for some reason. They know all these things. Our trash men in our old neighborhood, we haven't had a chance to do it here yet because the holiday was weird here. But during Christmas, Kim always makes little hot chocolate package things for our garbage men. So when they come, she runs out there and says Merry Christmas and gives them a thing.
Aww.
Now, she does that because she genuinely likes these people and wants them to know she appreciates the good work they do. But it has this awesome side benefit of they'll always go out of their way now to get our can right, to make sure stuff didn't dump anywhere. Like, I see them take care. They wave and smile and thumbs up us and all that kind of stuff. I'm telling you, there's major payback for being nice to your garbage collector.
Oh, for sure.
I recommend it. Number four, we're going down to one here. They work with the police if you have incriminating garbage.
There's a hand, severed hand in that garbage.
Yeah, we need to take that to the authorities. I'm trying to think of an example of this. There was something recently that happened near us where somebody found something, and I can't remember what the whole deal was, so I won't refer to it.
Really?
But yeah, they can be instrumental and sometimes the point of entry for a big investigation. So, if you throw out, syringes, there could be some potential, they may check that stuff for heroin residue or something. And then your heroin business is kaput.
Right.
As the Russians would say. So they will work with police. Don't throw away incriminating evidence. Or don't do incriminating things. Maybe that's better. Don't do that.
That's probably a better thing, yeah.
Number three.
cut that off at the head.
Yeah, why not? Three, what you flush winds up in the trash. So if you flush a leopard skin condom or something and it jams up, you just think, it didn't jam up my toilet, so it's gone into oblivion. No. If it jams up somewhere down the line, they know where it came from because somebody's got to clear that, right?
Wait. Okay.
So if you put I'm trying to think what you put down there.
A bag of heroin.
Yes. And let's say it goes down the sewer line to a point, you've got your whole street's connected and it jams up a pipe that sets off a sensor and they've got to come do an industrial whatever. They know who it came from and they know it was you.
But the trash guy isn't the guy who deals with that. It's going to be the city water engineer.
Sure, but that stuff ends up in the landfill, see?
Oh, gotcha, okay.
So right. They still can, like, point it back to you is the point. That's just something I hadn't thought about. Everything traces mm-hmm. back to you.
Mm-hmm.
People throw out cash. An unspeakable horror, it says here. There's constantly cases of people throwing money away. So, like, finding 20s and 50s.
And not just by buying Spice Girls CDs. No. Like, genuinely throwing money away.
We mean actual tendered currency. Not waste of money, but actual money. Right. That seems crazy to me. And they were talking about, like, bonds and the other stuff. Social Security checks and just, like, raw-ass money.
I imagine people do it and they don't know they're doing it. Like, they find a wad of Kleenexes in their pocket and it turns out there was a $20 bill mixed in with there or something.
Yeah, good point. That's a lot of Kleenex, but yes. I did this once. I threw a $100 bill away once and think it was just stuffed. It was stuffed. But so somebody had paid me for some work that I did and I had put it in a folder, like one of these, like a hanging, manila folder type thing.
Yeah.
And it was in with some other papers and stuff. And when I was done with that thing, I didn't need those notes anymore. So I just tossed the whole thing and forgot the money was in there. Yeah. Never saw it again. For all I know, that ended up being a lap dance for Joe, the garbage collector.
But you know, what's cool is you can do that. Like you can now use that as a bar that you've set, right? It's like, oh, should I buy that new Grand Theft Auto game? Well, it's not like I'm wadding up a $100 bill and throwing it in the trash.
Right. I like to look at that way. Things that way. Like I'm about to have a big bump in my freaking web hosting costs, which I'm dreading. I'm kind of bracing for it because my bandwidth has gone up and it's time for me to go to the next level. And it frustrates me because I hate that. But, whatever. I got to do what I got to do. But I'm thinking of all these justifications. How, well, that's just three less video games. Or that's just, one less trip to the movies with the kids. Or,
Steam purchase a day.
Sure. Right. And if something happens today, like I think it might happen. Oh, money going to be tight for a while. Okay. I'm not going to tell anyone what that is until it happens. But I'll tell you. Okay. Don't worry, everybody. I'll tell you.
Oh, God. Okay.
It'll become public soon enough. All right. What else? Oh, and then number one. They take trash from you to their home. They take it home.
this I believe, because you throw out like a decent end table or something.
Yeah.
And sometimes those things disappear right before the trash men come, or you don't see it in the back of the trash truck. You see it on the, between the cab and the the container.
Right. Why not though? So, if I was them and it was good stuff, and why not? And what's that? What's the difference between this and a garage sale? It's cheaper this way. Same idea. It's not like garbage. It's not like I'm going to take this half-eaten burrito home. That's not what we're talking about.
Ooh, wadded up Kleenex. Might have a $100 bill inside. Yeah. Let's take it.
This microwave still works. Whatever.
Right.
In other news, Naked Intruder. Naked Intruder.
Hide your kids. Hide your wife.
Yep. They're coming all around here. How's that go? Hide your kids. Hide your wife. Because
they're having everybody up around here.
All up around. Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Okay. Has a whole career because of that. Naked Intruder crashes through door and recites scripture. Check this out. This is not even this is a Seattle resident, so we're not even in Florida.
It's as far from Florida in the U.S. as you can get.
Opposite side of the country, even. It was a little comfort to the resident of a Seattle home along Lake Washington when the naked man who crashed through their front door began loudly reciting scripture. Police say a woman in the home called 911 at about 2 a.m. That's about when I was standing in the mirror going, what am I doing? Today, while her husband grabbed a baseball bat to protect his wife and two children from the homes on the home's upper floor, arriving officers spotted a naked man, pretty hard to do, walking down the street talking to himself. He took off running. They chased and they caught him. Police say after they arrested the 20-year-old man for investigating burgling, he told them that he had taken LSD. He was taken to Harborview Medical Center for treatment and then booked into jail. But imagine this kid, 20 years old, pops into the door and starts yelling,
though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death.
Like Samuel L. Jackson, man.
And you shall know me, but...
That would be amazing. As long as he doesn't have the gun, I'd be all right with that. That'd freak you out. And if you got kids, come on, man. What are we doing here, modern society? What are we doing? Let's not do this to people. Let's all be nice. HelloFresh.com is nice.
Very nice.
We like them. HelloFresh.com is the place. And I'll tell you what they do. They make cooking fun again. I haven't even looked at the recipes because I don't want to be tempted today. Mm-hmm. HelloFresh.com. Let's just look. Let's see. Today's recipes.
By the way, the naked intruder, his name is Michael Dick.
Oh, that's good. That's what you want. That's exactly what you want, right? Michael Dick.
There are worse first names he could have had, but still.
I kind of agree.
Yeah.
For some reason, I can't find... Oh, here we go. This week. All right. This week, we've got crispy spiced chicken with roasted sweet potatoes. Oh, man. Steak salad with grilled peaches and feta. Look at all these ingredients. Tri-tip steak, rosemary, chives, red wine vinegar, lettuce, basil, feta cheese, pecans, peaches. All fresh, all to your door. Miso glazed cod. I thought it said God at the end. Do not anger the miso glazed god. With broccoli and ginger rice. Sausage jambalaya. Kim just made jambalaya. Oh my gosh, it was so good.
Ooh, love that.
Mexican tortilla stacks and more. There's plenty there to be had by everybody. It's all farm fresh, all sent to your door, and all made by real chefs. That whole thing constructed by actual chefs. We want to save you some money. If they deliver to you, and you can find out on the site if they do, use the code MORNINGSTREAM for 50% off for first-time users at HelloFresh.com. That's HelloFresh.com.
Chairman J. Parnell Thomas of New Jersey opens an inquiry into possible communist penetration of the Hollywood film industry.
It's Celebrity Poop, brought to you by...
When Michelle met Brian, she thought they would have a family of four. With Morgan making it three, time has gone by and number four has not come. Brian and Michelle would like your help. They would love to add another little one to their family, but they need you, not for money, but for spreading the word. See tiny.cc/helpusadopt for more information on how you can help.
Turns out it's trickier to adopt right now than ever before.
I believe it.
And that's probably, I don't know what that's a sign of. I was talking to Brian and Michelle about this, or to Brian specifically. And I don't know. It's weird right now. there's no overflow of. I mean, normally there's more kids to adopt than people who want to adopt, but I think that's shifting. So anyway, it's a good thing.
Yeah, no,
it's a good
and looking at their photos, they look like a great family.
They're awesome. Yeah, I know these guys. I've known them for years, and they're totally sweet and amazing. And go check them out. That's tiny.cc/helpusadopt. The Emmys were announced. Let's rip through these real quick. We got some nominations.
All right.
This is This is how television celebrates greatness. Let's see. Carson Daly and actress and executive producer Mindy Kaling announced the 66th Prime Time Emmy Award nominations. And here's what they said. Best series in the drama. Best drama series.
Mm-hmm.
The Breaking Bad. Downton Abbey, The Game of Thrones, The House of Cards, The Mad Men, and The True Detective. I'm putting those in front of everything.
Sure.
Let's make predictions as we go.
Okay, sounds good.
I think that it is between True Detective and final season of Breaking Bad, and I think True Detective takes it.
Okay. Since I haven't seen True Detective, I'm going to go off what I know.
All right.
And I say Breaking Bad, but I'd love to see Game of Thrones sweep in and get this one.
That'd be cool, wouldn't it? Because that's one of the few they're actually nominated in.
Mm-hmm.
Best actor in a drama series, you got your Bryan Cranston from The Breaking Bad. you got Jeff Daniels from Dumb and Dumber. I'm sorry, The Newsroom. John Hamm from Mad Men. You got Woody Harrelson from True Detective, Matthew McConaughey from True Detective, and Kevin Spacey from House of Cards. I think if I, again, based on what I've seen, I would give this to McConaughey. Just ate that screen up. He was amazing. Amazing. And Woody was also great. But I think out of the two, McConaughey takes it. And then out of the whole group, I think the fight is down to McConaughey and Cranston.
Yeah. And I'm going to lean on the side of Cranston only because I've seen Newsroom and Mad Men as well, not True Detective or House of Cards. So, and I think Bryan Cranston did better than Jeff Daniels and John Hamm. I love those. Everybody.
This is a rough group to even pick from because everybody's awesome in that group.
Mm-hmm.
Best actress in a drama series. You got your Lizzie Kaplan from Masters of the Sex. Claire Danes from Homeland. Michelle Dockery from Downton Abbey. Which one is she? She's one of the daughters? I think she's the older daughter, I think. Anyway, Downton Abbey's awesome. Have you seen that show ever?
I have not seen a single episode of Downton Abbey.
You guys will love that show.
It's if it's on the list, it's low.
Oh, it should be higher. It's really good. It's so much better than you think. Juliana Margulies from ER. I'm sorry, The Good Wife. Disney's Dinosaurs. That's where she's from.
Right. Oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
Yeah, she's a voice in that. She, let's see. Kerry Washington from Scandal. Robin Wright from House of Cards. I think it goes to Juliana Margulies because she seems to be getting the most buzz right now for her performance on The Good Wife.
Although I'd love to see Lizzie Kaplan get that one, of course.
That'd be all right. Mm-hmm. She's a hottie. That's not why, though.
Right.
Best Supporting Actor in a Drama Series, Jim Carter, Downton Abbey. He's Carson, I think. He's great. Oh, my gosh, that show's great. Josh Charles from The Good Wife. Peter Dinklage from Game of the Thrones. Mandy Patinkin from Homeland. Aaron Paul from Breaking I Have Two First Names Bad. And John Voight as from Ray Donovan.
As Ray Donovan's dad.
Yes.
Daddy Donovan.
Daddy Donovan. I think that one goes to Peter Dinklage.
I would. Yeah, that's who I would.
That's who I want, anyway. Well.
Yes, exactly.
I don't know who they'll really do. Best Supporting Actress in a Drama Series, Christine Baranski from The Good Wife, Joanne Froggart. There's a come to the Froggart. Froggart. Downton Abbey, Anna Gunn from Breaking Bad, Lena Headey from Game of Thrones, Christina Hendricks from Mad Men, and Maggie Smith from Downton Abbey. She's great on there. She is amazing. Dude, I'm telling you. Look at all these these Downton Abbeys. This is all your proof you need to watch the show. Look at how many nominations they're getting.
This most recent season of Mad Men, I think, was a great Christina Hendricks season. So I'm going to actually lean towards her.
Okay. I will lean toward... I'm going to give it to Anna Gunn.
Okay.
I think she was amazing in that final season. Heartbreaking role.
Yeah. Oh, God. Totally.
Best guest actor in a drama series. I like this guest actor business. Dylan Baker, Beau Bridges... I'm just going to rip through what they're on.
Yeah.
Reg E. Kathy, Paul Giamatti. Oh, I haven't seen that part of that season yet. Robert Morse, rather. Oh, I love him. He's St. Elsewhere. He was, I think. Oh, that's David Morse.
Oh, yeah. No, he's the owner. Well, not owner, but he's one of the partners of Sterling Cooper Draper Price.
Oh, he is?
He was,
I'm thinking of a different actor then. Somebody else.
He is Cooper. Bert Cooper.
All right. Yeah, different dude I'm thinking of. Joe Morton from Scandal. And then Best Actress in a Drama Series, Kate Burton, Jane Fonda. These are guest actresses again. Allison Janney. She was in Masters of Sex. Allison Janney.
Took the top off, too.
You know who she is, you know.
She's from the West Wing.
The West Wing. Oh, yeah. She's amazing. Yeah,
she got topless in Masters of Sex.
She did?
Yes, which is a very unusual... thing for a
I don't know that she's ever done that.
An actress of her age,
yeah. She's a great actress. Kate Mara from House of Cards. Margo Martindale from The Americans. She was from season 2 of freaking
Justified.
Yeah, she's so good in
it
that.
It was in the glass.
She was so good. Holy crap, she was good.
Yeah, favorite season of Justified was because of her.
Yeah. And then Diana Rigg from Game of Thrones. I don't know who she played. I have to look that up. Best series comedy, Big Bang Theory. Just take him off the list. We're done with that show.
No, we're not.
I am. I don't think it's funny anymore. I don't know if it was ever really all that funny. It's just too pandery. I don't know.
Yeah.
Something about it. Louis on FX. I like that show.
Yep.
Although it's more depressing sometimes than comedy, but whatever.
Yes, it really is.
Modern Family, ABC, Orange is the New Black. Still, I feel like this is a weird category. I feel like it should be drama, but whatever. I know it's quirky, but it's more drama than comedy to me. Silicon Valley HBO and Veep HBO. If I was to give it, here's my guess. It's not necessarily my favorite, but I think Modern Family just gets it again.
I think that's who gets it for sure. I just finished watching the first season of Silicon Valley, and it is terrific. It's really, really good.
I love Mike Judge, so I need to catch up on that. Best variety. You got the Colbert Report. You got your Daily Show. You got your Jimmy Kimmel Live. You got your Real Time with Bill Maher. You got your Saturday Night Live, and you got your Tonight Show starring the Jimmy Fallon. If I'm picking one out of that, I think I'd probably go...
The Daily Show.
Probably Daily Show again. You know, Jimmy Fallon is nailing it. Like, he is turning... He turned Tonight Show into something I actually like to see. So he deserves a ton of credit for doing that, but I still think Daily Show gets it.
Yeah. I think in a couple of years, Jimmy Fallon gets it. I think it's just too...
Too early.
too early. Yeah.
And too much of his old show, right? Like
I think it's still, it's really good. And I think it's award worthy.
Yeah.
But I think that just out of principle, it doesn't get awarded.
Yeah. I think you're right.
Yeah.
Best reality competition program. Now, this is one you'll know because you like all this crap.
I do. Well, it's funny because out of all these, I only watch one.
That's true. The Amazing Race, right?
Yeah. And that's the one I think is going to get it. That always gets it. If Survivor isn't in the list, then Amazing Race gets it. Actually, I think Amazing Race has probably won more than Survivor.
Yeah, I think you're right. It wins almost every year. The Amazing Race, you got your Dancing with the Stars this time. This with the Stars. Project Runway, So You Think You Can Dance. Top Chef and The Voice. Those are your I'll bet you Amazing Race just killed it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Best actor in a comedy series, Don Cheadle for House of Lies. I watched a bunch of that when I was in Phoenix. Was it Phoenix? Somewhere. It was somewhere. I didn't like it.
Oh, really?
I found it snarky and annoying. I think it's too up its own butt.
Okay.
I thought he was good in it, though. He was good. He was good, and so was what's her name? Crap.
Dermot McMulroney?
No, from Veronica Mars. I can't think of her name all of a sudden.
Oh, Kristen Bell?
Kristen Bell. Yeah, she's great.
Oh, I didn't know she was in that. I guess I did know that she was in that.
But
yes.
Don Cheadle's always good in everything, but House of Lies is an annoying, pretentious, just jerky a-hole show. I don't like it. Okay. Louis C.K. for Louis. Ricky Gervais for Derek. Probably deserves it. That show's really good.
It's really good. And it's such a departure from anything else Ricky Gervais has ever done, you know?
Yeah. And it's hard to do, I think, what he's doing. And it just works. It's really well done.
Yep.
Matt LeBlanc for Episodes. William H. Macy for Shameless. Now, Shameless I did like.
I never saw Shameless.
I did
see Episodes.
I like it. Jim Parsons for The Big Bang Theory. We're done. Too many. It's too many. He's got enough.
Too many times for him. Yeah, we'll back you up on that.
Yeah. It's like, come on, man. Give someone else a chance. Best Actress in a Comedy Series, Lena Dunham for Girls. Edie Falco for Nurse Jackie. She's great.
She's fantastic in that show.
Always good. Julie Louise Dreyfus for Veep. I've never seen Veep, but I desire to see Veep.
You know who makes that show is Buster.
I've heard.
Buster Bluth. Yeah, he's any scene he's in is actually, God, they're all so good. Anna Chlumsky is really good.
I hear nothing.
Gary Cole has been in the last couple seasons. He's awesome.
Just hear that whole show is great.
Yeah, it is really good.
Melissa McCarthy for Mike and Molly. Amy Poehler for Parks and Recreation. And then Taylor Schilling for Orange is the New Black. And I think that's a good pick, although I still don't see how it's a comedy. I'm bugged by that comedy thing.
Right. I'd like to see Taylor Schilling get it. I think it's going to go to either Amy Poehler or Edie Falco.
Yeah, I think you're right. I'm going to skip some of these because who cares about those? Don't care about that. Don't care about that. Okay. Best TV miniseries, American Horror Story, Coven, Bonnie and Clyde, Fargo. I bet Fargo will get it. Oh, by the way, best miniseries actor, also Martin Freeman for Fargo. That's exciting.
Yay! Well-deserved.
Yeah.
And Billy Bob Thornton, for that matter.
Luther, Treme, The White Queen. Best TV movie, Killing Kennedy, Muhammad Ali's Greatest Fight, The Normal Heart, A Trip to Bountiful, which is a city here just north of Salt Lake, so it's weird.
Yep.
And Sherlock, His Latest Vow. All right. Let's see. Our best actor. I don't care about that. Although Martin Freeman, Billy Bob Thornton, that's good. Oh, Mark Ruffalo's in that for The Normal Heart, whatever that is. Skipping down. Okay, that's all fine. Okay, best TV miniseries.
It's funny. They repeat the TV miniseries.
Yeah, why'd they do that?
TV movie.
What are they thinking there? That's weird.
Because they wanted more photos, I guess. I don't know.
I'm pretty much into Mark Ruffalo winning whatever. I like that guy a lot.
No kidding. Oh, he's fantastic, yeah.
Best short format live action entertainment program. This is the web thing. Okay, this is the final deal. Okay. We'll give you this one. Between Two Ferns with Zach Galifianakis and President Barack Obama on funnyordie.com. Children's Hospital on Adult Swim. I don't know what that is. Parks and Rec in Europe on NBC.com. I don't know what that is either.
That's that just a web series of Parks and Recreation going to London, I want to say.
Okay. All right. Yeah. The Soup, the True Detective episode. And Super Bowl XLVIII, because I don't know what number that is now. Let's see. What's XL? That's 10.
One short of 50. Or, I'm sorry, 10 short of 50, so it would be 40.
We really ought to start writing the number. Rome fell a long time ago, guys. We can use numbers now.
Actually, I think for the next one, not this coming one, but for the next one, they are going to use the number because the Roman numerals are going to be confusing, or there's some reason that they're going to go with the actual digits as opposed to Roman numerals.
No. Weird.
Yeah.
I'm down with that though.
I'm trying to remember why that is, or look up why that was. There we go. Super Bowl 50. Oh, because they don't want to have just Super Bowl L.
Oh,
Super
good point. Bowl. Yeah, that's a stupid idea. Exactly. Yeah. Finally. Our long national nightmare is over.
Right.
All right.
The next year, it's going to be Super Bowl Lee. It'll be back to L.I.
Wonderful. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we have Wendy here with Therapy Thursday. We're going to talk about fitness shaming, which is an interesting idea. We'll get to that here in a minute. But before all that, music from Brian. What do you got?
Here's what I got. I'll tell you what I got all as right. I get back to my notes here.
I'll tell you what I got, what I really, really got.
All right. So this is a cover of – oh, yeah. This is going out to Gary. So I'm in Vegas, right, at the Artifice at the Andrew Allen Trio show downtown. And walk into the bar and get ready to see the great concert. And who walks up to me at the bar but Mr. Gary from Lantronics, the land guru himself.
Can't believe it.
And now keep in mind, this is also a burlesque show. So before the Andrew Allen Trio, there's a burlesque show. You get your comedian, your music, and then you got women.
Yeah, starring Gary from Lantronics, right?
Starring Gary from Lantronics.
All right. Good.
And so I'm getting a drink and sitting there chatting with Gary, and we both get distracted by the stuff going up on stage. Gary more so.
Yeah.
I think stops in mid-sentence. He's talking. Well, I wouldn't say anything further. Dear Scott and Brian, no clever names because I'm a little tipsy listening to the Andrew Allen Trio at a bar in Vegas instead of being curled up in the fetal position in my hotel room. He actually wrote this at that bar while we were both there.
All right.
On July 12th, I turned the big 65 and I'm officially eligible for Medicare. I know you've played covers of Rod Stewart's Ooh La La recently, but if you could find it in your heart to play just one more in honor of my official entry into senior citizenship, I'd be eternally grateful. Hug a hobo, Gary, the land guru, Fisher.
All right.
So I do have one more cover of that song. I think the last one I played was by the Counting Crows. That was really good from their Underwater Sunshine cover album. But this one's a little bit different. It's almost like a ska, punk, clash. I don't know. I really, really like it. It is by Tim Timebaum. And this comes from his most recent release, which is kind of like a compilation album called Tim Timebaum and Friends. It's a cover of The Faces' Ooh La La. Going out to Gary. Happy birthday, man.
His words, I thought he was a bitter man. He spoke of women's ways. He said they'll trap you and then they'll use you before you even know. He said love is blind and you're far too kind to ever let it show. I wish that I knew what I know now. When I was younger, I wish that I knew what I know now. When I was stronger, they can't such a pretty show to steal your heart away. But backstage, back on earth again, the dressing rooms are gray. They come out strong, it ain't too long before they make you feel like a man. But love is blind, and soon you'll find you're just a boy again.
Thank you.
and if you want some more, she's fast asleep, then she's twinkling with the stars. Oh, poor young grandson, there's nothing here I can't say. You either learn, or you're just like me, and that's the hardest way. Ooh la la, ooh la la, la la.
$200, a Super Nintendo setup costs twice as much as the old system, and you can't mix and match. For the money, the company promises better pictures, sound, and adventures. Some of the new games look like updated takes on fairly well-known formats. In the racing game of F-Zero, you're in a futuristic race car. Oh, I guess I should watch where I'm driving instead of talking. The 3D effect, as you can see, is pretty good by video game standards. There's a nice clear stretch, even if I am in reverse. Let's see if we can't turn the car around right about now. If you're a real good player, meaning you've got the skill of a 9 or 10-year-old, you can even try to jump your car. But look out. If you miss, the game lets you know your status.
What?
Many Bothans died to bring you this information. This is the Morning Stream.
All that news piece did was convince me and remind me that local news has always been terrible.
Yeah.
It's not just today, guys. It's not, wow, what's happened to the news? It's always been bad. Just bad. It's not informative. It's not smart. No. It's just stupid. Don't rely on that stuff anymore. We're smarter than that now. And besides, many Bothans died to bring us this information. All right. Right. Let's do Wendy. Let's call her. Let's give her a call.
Yeah.
She was at Nerdtacular.
She was.
She told me she had a great time.
It was so great to see her. She's...
Yeah, she's awesome. We're going to miss her.
She lights up the room when she walks in.
That's right.
Now she's going to light up Sweden.
She's going to light up the entire thing. Yeah, like a Christmas tree when she gets up there.
Like Northern Lights.
I guess over there. Not really up there.
Over there.
On there, up there. How does it work in Sweden?
Out there.
Out there?
Up there. I think up there, sure.
Up there. Somewhere up there. Wait, that's out there. good times. All right, we'll see if we can ring her up. Get this going. Very interested in today's email. It has a direct connection, relation to stuff we talk about on the show, especially on Tuesdays.
Exactly, yes.
And I don't know. I think it's good to evaluate. Like, it's easy for me. Well, yeah, I'll save this for when she gets on. Yeah. Oh, she didn't pick up. Hold on. Try that again. I think she's there.
God, no kidding. The donuts disappeared quickly. Darksting points out that
how
the fans bum rushed the stage to get the donuts.
You'd swear those people had never eaten a donut before. That was just bonkers.
I wanted one of those donuts.
I'm going to text her. Hey.
Furt?
Are you there? I should say Furt. Oh.
Hello.
There she is. Oh, ignore my text I just sent. I sent you a text. Pretend it didn't happen. Where are you? You in a car? Where are you?
I'm in a car, and I'm not fast enough to trick you. I meant to not be in a car. I'm almost home. So
you're fine. No worries. Your LTE is just fine. It's windy. It's windy, everybody. It's literally windy out here where I live. It's like blowing like crazy. I don't know why. Wendy is my sister. She's also a therapist. She was also at Nerdtacular, and she also saw many of you there. Thank you, everybody, for being so nice and shaking her hand and saying hi. Pretty good event, don't you think, Wendy? We had a good time.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Yeah.
I love Snowbird. It's so pretty out there.
Yeah, it's really nice. I tried to spend more time outside, and I actually got a chunk of time Thursday to be outside, but that was it. The rest of the time I was trapped in there. But it was good while it lasted. Wendy comes on the show each and every Thursday. We do a little therapy via email. People send in questions. We answer them right here. And we do the best we can to try to help real people with their real problems. And here we go. Are you ready for this thing? You want to do it?
Yeah. Yeah. Let me tell you something stupid. I was talking to Mom earlier, and she's trying to listen to the show, and I'm trying to tell her how to get on iTunes.
Yeah. So,
hi, Mom, if you actually got on. Anyway. Oh,
she's trying to hear today. Is that the deal?
Yeah, today. And this is so embarrassing, but true. We're talking, and I said, so you need to search for the morning stream. And it dawns on me for the first time that this is a double meaning with peeing in the morning.
Yeah, it does. See? Not everyone even thinks about that. I didn't even think about it when I made it up. And that's no one believes me. But it wasn't about peeing. It was about just a morning.
It really seems like something you would do.
It does, though, right? And I do this all the time. I say things that I end up having double meanings that I don't always intend.
She goes, you didn't know that? Because Mom totally got it.
Oh, of course she did. Because she pees a lot in the morning. I get it.
Sure.
Well, it was nice to have her there, too, and Misha and everybody else. It's always good to have everybody represented. So, Mom, if you're listening, enjoy the following thing we do. Here we go. This is a question. We got an email, right? And it starts like this. Kind of a long one, but I'll read the whole thing because I think it's important. And Wendy said that she thought it was a good email, so we're on the right track. Hi, guys. This is from somebody we'll call E. I'll say right up front, I love the show. Just had to pause and write this email about the 47th time I was irritated by a particular line of conversation. You always say you appreciate hearing opposing views, and it occurred to me this would be a good topic for Wendy. So here it goes. Very often, fitness geek, a.k.a. Bill Duran on Tuesdays, will make comments such as, quote, how about you just eat less and work out more, unquote. I think both of you have also said similar things about your own successful weight loss. That's how I did it. I just ate healthier and exercised more. I've said that before.
Mm-hmm. I don't think I have.
No.
I haven't done that.
Yeah, Brian's whatever, man. You're
kind of held steady at exactly the same weight I was last year.
Sure, you don't
hold steady.
Keeping it real is what you're doing.
Right.
Most times, one or all of you hurry to add, of course, it's different for people who have a valid medical condition, unquote. All right, so I believe that has come up before. I've been overweight for 15 years and have tried and failed and succeeded and failed again to get down to a healthier weight countless times. And I don't have any medical issues to excuse my fat. I just haven't cured whatever's inside me that uses food to manage my stress and negative emotions. I'm not stupid. I know the formula. But knowing the formula and being able to actually live it are very different things. People seem dismissive about the real mental conditions that relate to weight. Food causes chemical reactions in our brains. For many of us, food is our drug of choice. We eat to create a control or control our emotions. We eat because of how we cope. We eat because we feel literally powerless in the grip of that chemical rush we get from eating a bag of Doritos. I don't think you guys are trying to say it's easy to lose weight, but it seems to reflect a common attitude that is so simple. Just have some willpower, eat less, exercise more. This assumption seems to be that if somebody isn't succeeding, it's because they're not trying or because they are just stupid. Another example is of this is, quote, people who smoke are so stupid, unquote. It's pretty demoralizing. I know I am trying as hard as I can, but people will still look at me and immediately form a judgment that I am less. Less good, less in control, less motivated to be healthy. If I told them, oh, I have a medical condition, then I would just get a free pass. But if I told them the truth, oh, I have emotional eating and food addiction issues, then they will really think I suck. I can't be the only one who's feeling, who has these feelings and experiences. So I thought it would be great if Wendy could talk about the chemical/emotional issues around food and weight loss. Am I right about there being addiction-like forces in play here, or is that just another rationalization for my crappy willpower? Maybe it will help me to hear Wendy's no-nonsense, tell-it-like-it-is take on the issue. Thanks for all you do and creating such an amazing community around so many awesome shows that you make. Signed, E. Okay. So, really valid points all around and good questions because, you know, it's easy for me. I'll make an admission here. It's easy for me to get on the other side of 50 pounds and go, yeah, it was awesome. It was all diet and exercise, and it was great. And, man, I'm glad I did it. And everybody should try this, too, and whatever. But there were years leading up to that where I could not seem to get there. And
Oh, yeah.
My eating was mostly emotional then, too. So I totally get where he's coming from. Mm-hmm. But anyway, go for it. Tell me, where are we going on this? Where do we start? Uh-oh.
Oh, no, we lose her.
Eat. You had a... Oh, can you hear me?
You're back now, yeah.
Oh, okay. Every time you ate, you had a instant or within a couple hours, some training that, nope, you can't eat that.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
So
yeah.
Anybody would be skinny after being literally thrown to the floor every time they ate poorly.
Well, but right? That was only, so you got to remember though, that only started after about 35 pounds lost. So I had lost up to 35 pounds before January, just with the exercise and eating thing before that thing hit. Now that's still a valid point. Once that hit, the remaining weight to 50 was a much quicker and easier choice for me because I didn't want to be a mess either. So yes, there's absolutely a benefit in having like a medical condition come up that kind of jacks you up, and forces you to eat better. But you know, I was 35 pounds into the weight loss at that point and was feeling pretty good about that. In fact, I was more mad, I think, because when this thing happened, I was like, what? I thought if you ate healthy, you'd never have problems, you know, which isn't true either. You know, I have friends who eat, who go on diets because they went on such a strong diet. Their gallbladder freaked out and they have emergency surgery to get the thing out. Like it's kind of annoying actually that that's what sometimes happens. But anyway, it's a good point.
Well, and there's also another thing with you. We'll stick with you for a second. Then we're.
Oh, her connection is poop.
We're going to get to.
Oh, there she goes. Hold on. We'll call her back. It might help to reset the connection.
Get to me. I was wondering if that sentence was going to end with. And then we'll get to Brian.
And then we'll end with Brian. No. All right, let's try this again. One more time. Busy. What does that mean?
What's a busy
signal? Are you there?
Okay, sorry.
No, I'm here now. You're fine. The connection gave up or something. That was weird. It's probably because you transitioned from LTE to Wi-Fi or something. Who knows?
I came. Yeah, and it got mad at me. Anyway,
it's all right.
So my question is, you know, how many times prior to the 25 pound loss had you lost weight, gained weight since you stopped naturally being skinny at 24?
Oh, so many times. Like there's absolutely no question. I would stress eat and I would stress eat badly. Like it wouldn't be, oh, let me have three big healthy meals a day. Let me just eat a bag of something crappy because whatever's in these, you know, Oreos makes me feel better. That definitely was a problem. And it was a problem from probably. Oh, if I had to put a finger on it, probably 25 to 35 is where I think a lot of those horrible habits were developed. I think it got worse after Dad died. So there's probably, and you may even talk about this today, there's probably some connection to like traumatic sort of loss and things like that. But yeah, what I always used to tell myself was, oh, there's plenty of time. But for some reason, like a year ago, it just, I don't know, I felt like I was not going to have a lot of time. Like I need to get on this now, like now or never, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I don't know where that came from or why I was motivated, but that was when it happened for me. That, you know, the added bonus of losing the extra 15 pounds after because of diverticulitis was just kind of a nice little bunch of, budge that pushed me forward. Budge? Is that a word? Sound wrong.
Totally not a word.
Nudge? Nudge is what I meant. Not a budge. I'm not going to budge.
Is what you meant?
Bulge. Yeah. The extra bulge. I don't know what I'm saying.
Okay. So let's talk about what E has written about because what he's hearing from other people is unless you have a valid reason, then you're just lame and don't have enough willpower and you're not a good person. Right. Mm-hmm. There is definitely a bizarre bias we have in our culture against those who are overweight. Mm-hmm. And we're talking, you know, a quarter of the U.S. population is obese.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, and obese is not, I mean, I don't, I mean, the range, like Adam, he's obese.
No, he's not.
Yes, he is.
He is.
Well, technically he is.
All right.
Because and what I'm saying is the range is kind of big. Like if your BMI is a certain thing, which BMI doesn't take frame into account, and he's just kind of a bigger dude, and he hides it, so you can't really tell. But, you know, he's probably 30 pounds overweight, maybe 40.
40? Really? Adam? Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Hides it. Hides
it really well. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, you look at him, he just looks like a thick, muscly guy. He doesn't look like
Yeah, they think I'm a jerk. But it really, technically, he really is. No, because we talk about, like, you know, you're happily married, you gain some weight, right? You just eat yourself to oblivion and stop trying.
Yeah.
But, you know, he's happily married. Let's just say that.
Sure.
anyway, so, but what the point is, like, the range is big, but still a quarter of the population. I don't know the rate on children, but I know it's, you know, pretty skyrocketed. So there's a couple of things that are going on that he's talking about that are huge. So we have this stigma. Mm-hmm. If you're overweight, it means you don't have willpower, or it means you're sloppy, or it means, you know, there's all this connotation that goes with that. And then if someone says they have a medical condition, you're like, oh, well, I guess you can't help it.
Well, isn't it kind of like just like an anxiety disorder? It has the same sort of stigma where people say, dude, suck it up and be a man, and not realizing that there's, you know, stuff going on there.
Or depression, like just get up and do it. Right. In fact, I have a great analogy for this. My good friend was pregnant for the first time and so sick, couldn't move, thrown up all the time. Yeah. And her husband is like, seriously, let's go on a hike. Like, what are you doing? And like, you'll feel better if you get up and, you know, come on or whatever.
Yeah.
And, you know, she kind of dealt with that. And then he one day got the flu, and she says he's asleep in the room. It's dark. She walks in, flips on the light, and gets on her cheerleader voice and is like, oh my gosh, it's a beautiful day. We should go on a hike, and clapping and like, come on, buck up.
Yeah.
And he was like, okay, I get it. But because you don't get it until you get it.
Yeah.
And I think that's the main crux of his experience is, for those who understand this, it doesn't require you to say, oh, there's a medical condition, because they understand the power food has. And he asked this question, is it addiction or is it something else? And food is absolutely an addictive substance. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Every one of us has a dopamine hit when we eat something we really like. And, you know, an Oreo's got, I don't know, how many extra molecules of yumminess.
Yeah. There's some
coats the whole tongue.
Yeah, there's some kind of, I don't know if it was just an old wives' tale or if there was something to it, but there's supposed to be 9 separate chemicals that are specifically designed to be very yummy and cravy for people. And that thing is formulated to just make you want more and more of it all the time.
Absolutely. Yeah. Right. And I'm pretty sure your spinach only has a half of one of those chemicals.
Right.
You know, and the truth is, yeah, it's absolutely, food science has nailed what it is that we crave and can't stop eating. Because, you know, when you eat an Oreo, it's not like, that was an Oreo, that's good. It's the whole package has to be done.
Yeah.
Before you feel satiated or, and for most people at that point, you just feel revolting and you're mad at yourself. Mm-hmm. So it goes from food for sustenance to self, is flagellation the word?
Yeah. Where you're beating yourself up or whatever.
Yeah. And it becomes, so food becomes your enemy. Now think about that for a minute. You need food to live, and it becomes your enemy, and it becomes your frenemy. Let's be honest. That's a better term. And so you then spend, you know, 3 times a day or more having to interact with a substance that for some people is like their cocaine, right? Mm-hmm. It is that chemically altering of how they experience the world. I had a client tell me this once. I thought this was a really sort of powerful, interesting way to describe it. She says, I have so much emptiness. She had a really, really rough childhood. I have so much emptiness that when I eat, it's the closest I get to feeling the emptiness. So she has a chronic feeling of emptiness. And when she eats, the chemical rush, the dopamine, the comfort, the, you know, the peaceful, all of that stuff that comes from eating in the moment is the closest thing she can get to sort of feeling that cavern. The problem is that's not what the cavern is. Mm-hmm. And so you can imagine if that's how you felt, you would eat yourself to oblivion to try to fix that feeling.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, I mean, if we took the stigma away and people said, I have a food addiction and eating disorder and I am addicted to food or whatever, and people went, oh, all right, it's just as valid as I have a medical condition that causes me to, you know, retain water or whatever.
People just don't believe it. They hear it. They, if they're not that way or whatever, they're some kind of fitness freak and always have been, or they've never had trouble keeping weight off or whatever. They immediately hear that and go, well, that's, you know, they don't have any empathy for it because it doesn't sound real to them.
Yeah.
You know?
Right. And that's when, not that, you know, maybe he could go around doing this because it would be awesomely funny. But when he gets that sense from people, if he said, so what's your drug of choice?
Yeah.
Because everyone has one. I mean, there is not a person out there who can say, I live my life perfectly in balance and harmony. Maybe there's some monks that do.
Yeah.
But for the most part, we all find some substance that increases our dopamine when, you know, our dopamine's low or our lives are boring or we're stressed.
Yeah.
So it can be anywhere from, you know, and actually, I don't know if, I think you and I, Scott, have talked about this, but I'm not sure I've talked about this on the show. But the dopamine increases for certain substances, I think, are really interesting. So food is a 50% increase in dopamine. Mm. So for the average person eating who doesn't have food problems or food addictions or, you know, that dopamine increase just is enough to say, hey, remember to eat again. That's what dopamine's for. Do this again so you don't starve to death. That's why we have a good feeling when we eat. We need the nutrients don't, it takes longer for our body to actually get the nutrients, but we need to do it. So dopamine is the chemical that says, hey, mental note, good food, do this again. Same thing with thirsty. I'm thirsty. I drink water. I get a dopamine burst because I need to do that again or I'm going to die. It's survival, right?
Right.
But good food for the average person is a 50% increase. For a food addict, it's going to be significantly higher because you sort of train yourself for that dopamine release, and the more fatty and rich foods and the, you know, the stuff we're not supposed to eat, the higher amounts of that satiation or taste bud stuff, chemicals, whatever,
right,
happens. So it's higher and higher. So here are the other numbers, which I think are interesting. So for sex is 100% increase.
Yeah.
Nicotine is 225% increase.
Oh my Lord.
Yeah. So let's not tell people who smoke they're stupid. Maybe they're stupid the first time they do it.
Right.
Smoke shaming.
But the third time, it's because there are some serious chemical magic happening.
Wow. I didn't realize. That's insane. Wow.
You can test your genetically, sort of look at your nicotine receptors in your brain. Nicotine is the greatest drug for the brain in the world.
Wow.
But it's administration. It's a problem.
Yeah.
And it tends to kill you. But we all have nicotine receptors. We have things in our brain that are built for that drug.
Yeah.
And so when people are addicted, man, there is a good reason. And then some of us have more than others. In fact, when Adam and I did a genetic testing for Christmas, because we were stupid and didn't want to buy things, he has more nicotine receptors. So we're always like, you dodged a bullet because you would be a smoker.
Yeah.
Because he really, it would work better for him probably than it would for me.
So if you, let me ask you just, I don't mean to go down a rabbit hole with this, but if somebody went and bought just a bunch of nicotine patches because they felt like they just weren't stimulated enough in their life or something.
Yeah.
Any value to that? Any like, I mean, usually people use those to quit smoking and get nicotine another way, but I never hear about anybody who start their nicotine path with
getting a patch.
I think
I'm going to take up smoking. Let me get some patches.
Yeah.
Like, it's the
I'll avoid those carcinogens. And
right. Yeah, right.
You know, I have no idea. I've never heard that either, but I can imagine there's a teenager who's done it. And
yeah, a lot. Like those lozenges or the nicotine gum or something. I always wondered about that. But
and
anyway.
You ask a smoker, are they anything close to the real hit? And of course they're not. But I don't know about the other way around.
Be interesting to find out. Somebody out there has to have tried. We'll get emails, I'm sure.
Right. There's probably a website on how to do this. Anyway.
By the way, Mom, I just want to say this real quick. Mom texted me. She says, yes, I am listening. And of course I knew the meaning of TMS. Ha ha ha. And I said something. And then she says, I'm obese. Yikes. And I said, well, some of us are to some degree, Mom. So, you know, even I would argue that our mother is, looks great for her age. My goodness, you know, just amazing for her age. But I mean, everybody's probably, you know, somewhere on the scale of, somebody needs to lose 5. Some people need to lose 40. Some need to lose 10. You know, like, aren't we all on the scale at some point?
I mean, absolutely. Well, and you have the exoskeleton body types, and then you have the endomorphic, whatever. I forget all the names.
Yeah.
And Adam always likes to say that he's an endomorph and I'm an exo, whatever. And, and that's the truth. I mean, if you all saw pictures of our grandmother, I am built just like her.
You totally are. Yeah.
Which is going to get ugly. With age,
you're going to be all osteo, hunched over.
It looks okay now.
Yeah, it looks fine now.
So I'd have to eat significantly, like a lot, and stop exercising totally to gain weight. And I know everyone's like, oh, cry me a river. Boo-hoo, like everyone right. hates that, right? Yeah. But when I'm tucking my boobs in my pants, shut it. But really, and what someone had, you know, they kept talking about your weight at Nerdtacular, and I was like, well, that's actually how Scott's supposed to look.
Yeah, this is my normal deal. Type. Sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Which he'll be tucking his boobs in his pants too.
Yeah, getting close now, to be honest.
But if you look at, and I don't know enough about the politics of food, but I mean, you could look at the history of food and what's put in food and how preservatives, like, I don't know, but it seems weird that you can keep something on your shelf for like 3 years, eat it, and those preservatives don't translate into like fat stores preserving fat something.
Sure.
It just seems like there's a lot more that happens with our food that probably is not, we're not really evolved to handle well. I know that's true with wheat. The wheat that's, you know, genetically modified and been sort of created to last forever has all sorts of things going on that just don't exist in the wheat that rots, you know?
Sure. Everything, if it doesn't rot, you probably shouldn't be eating it. Like they always talk about McDonald's. I'm pretty sure there's McDonald's french fries still somewhere in my intestines that I ate in the late 70s. Pretty sure that's still in there. You know?
For sure, between the cracks in my car seats. That's for sure.
Right.
Yeah,
and they're preserved. Exactly. They're preserved perfectly.
Yeah.
As if they never left. Yeah.
So I don't necessarily want to get into that, but I think that there really is bigger geopolitical reasons for obesity that are not as simple as exercise and diet.
Right.
And so there's that. And then there's also this the studies, I don't know if you've seen them, about being fat is contagious.
Yeah.
Hmm. Certain communities that their obesity rates are, you know, very similar in like a town in Texas. It's one of the most obese counties in the world. And why? And then versus another town where, and it's really interesting because when, and the idea would be, it's that social comparison theory, right? The idea is I'm out to dinner with my friends. They eat, you know, twice as much as me. I'm thinner than them. And so my peer group or my contrast group is that I'm in a healthy weight when I might not be.
Yeah.
And it's because you sort of mimic the behaviors of those around you. I live in a part of Salt Lake, you know, sort of my county specifically, where it is impossible to go 1 minute, rain, snow, you know, thunder, lightning, where you don't see 20 runners. There are constantly people exercising around my neighborhood. It is a thing.
Yeah.
And there is maybe one chubby lady on the PTA, and that is it.
Right.
So if you start gaining a ton of weight, you're the only one. And so there is that. So who are you around? And I'm not saying get rid of your fat friends. I'm just saying there is something to be said. Or get rid of your skinny friends if you want to feel good. I mean, that's probably just as valid, right?
Make sure you're the skinniest one in the circle, basically.
Anyway, so wait, let me go back to the dopamine thing really quick.
Can I ask you a quick question, though? Hold on, before we get off the body image thing. So this is just my common sense talking, but it seems to me that the problem with the discrimination factor that we're talking about and that he's asking about comes down to two factors. One is it's hard to be empathetic for something you don't experience yourself. So if you don't have a tendency toward becoming bigger and retaining more weight because you are not genetically disposed to, and it's much easier for you to lose weight, that's one thing because you just can't relate. But that, I think, where the vitriol and the pain comes from is it's that combined with the natural human thing to see patterns. And when something seems different, it's weird to us. So if somebody walks into a room, I was thinking of Roger Ebert the other day. I was listening to an interview with his wife about how much his surgery changed him when he had jaw cancer. And when he walked into a room, you couldn't help but kind of gasp and stand back and go, whoa, this is so not the normal face, that you cannot help as a human being to kind of recoil. It's just the natural thing. Something's up here. Something's wrong here. This isn't normal, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I feel like when people see somebody who's perhaps morbidly obese, somebody who's very large, your immediate reaction can't help but be, this is different. So the combination of that natural human discrimination against things that throw off our pattern recognition combined with our lack of empathy in this particular area just creates this kind of discord. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Those are the two ingredients, in my opinion, that are just screwing everybody up. But anyway.
But then there's also the flip side, that if someone's thin and everyone is overweight, which this, our country's overweight.
Right.
So someone who's very thin, then we have the opposite reaction, which is they're having eating disorder or there's something that's wrong with it. So the criticism goes both directions.
Sure.
And then we go, yeah, yeah, wine, you're skinny. Who cares?
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
But there really is, there is, you're right. And I think the shifting normal look is changing to some extent, but look who we still idolize, and we probably always will, are sticks,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And what it takes to keep them looking that way. I recently read something that J-Lo has literally 12 people that make her look like that.
Wow.
12.
That's a
She's
lot.
She's a team.
She's not Jenny from the block anymore.
No. Yeah.
They dress her. They do her hair. They, yeah, you know, make her work out. They
probably each
her.
Take, you know, an arm and a leg and then put her on the treadmill and go, doot, doot, doot. Yeah.
Totally. She's not even awake during all of
right.
this.
Right. Exactly.
That's crazy. Yeah.
But again, that's sort of our image of beauty and what's acceptable is continue the gap between reality for people and that ideal image is continues to spread. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
So there's the concern that, yeah. So go back to that point about your first point, not the differences, but the, what did you say?
The dysmorphia of seeing what, which I don't remember. What did I say?
Not the difference. The first point. Your first point was
bananas are easier to peel from the other side. I don't know. I don't remember. What was I saying? I don't remember. Brian, do you remember what I said?
I don't remember what he was saying either.
Yeah, I don't know.
I got so stuck on the Roger Ebert point.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. So before I brought up Roger Ebert, you were going to say, oh, shite. I don't remember. It was something good, though. It was great.
It'll come back.
We were heading down a great path. I know that.
Yeah.
Next week on Therapy Thursday.
Yeah, exactly.
ADD.
Yeah.
ADD / oh, okay. I'll just go into this because as I read the email last night, I was like, I feel like I finally get something I never got before.
Right.
So, you know, I had 4 kids, gained 50 pounds every time, had to lose it all. It sucked. And it's not the same. I get it. But up until I was 32, it was no big deal. And then suddenly I actually had to try and I was like, what?
Hmm.
And I have no willpower. I'll tell you what. People who out there think skinny people have willpower, they don't.
Mm.
It's genetic or something.
Yeah.
Because, wow, it's so much harder. And if you haven't had to practice that at all or even try, and then suddenly you're like, what? There's some empathy that gets built. The other thing I'm experiencing recently is stress eating. I've never done that before.
Oh, wow.
There are not enough chips in the world to satisfy this.
Mm-hmm. And you don't care about serving recommendations and – you know, I'll get, this happens to me, and once in a while I'll fall out. Like that Dorito experience about 4 weeks ago, a huge misstep on my part.
Yeah.
But it was one of those things where I'm just, there's a million things going on, Nerdtacular's coming, I got all these deadlines for other stuff, I've got to get it done before that hits, blah, blah, blah. And now I've eaten a half a bag of freaking ranch flavored Doritos. And it didn't feel like that was enough even then, you know?
No.
There's got to be more. So there's something about the stressful mind when food is available, especially comfort food, that just will not turn off. And I don't care how skinny or how much weight loss you've had. There's something there. It's a bit of refuge or a refuge where you can just escape and just pound it down. They're just consequences as you get older. I mean, when you did that because you were bored on a Saturday night when you were 16, big deal. Three bags later, you might burp once. Okay, everything's fine. But when you get older and we're all doing it at the same rate, I hate to tell everybody, we're all getting there around the same pace. You just can't anymore. You're done.
Yeah.
You know?
Right. But then if your skill set is I'm stressed or I'm bored, so I'm going to eat to oblivion, and that your skills never actually change. So let's address his, I think the main point therapeutically, at least I think that would be helpful for him.
Yeah.
And that is, like any addiction, you cannot do it alone. You can't just use willpower's not enough. There's a great book, by the way. It's called The Willpower Instinct. That is fantastic. It's a series that a woman taught, like a continuing ed class. She taught at Stanford for, like, you know, just random community members, and it was so good. She wrote a book. Awesome. Anyway, Willpower Instinct. And you're going to learn that
it's
everything
on, it's on Amazon, by the way.
Everything you think you know about willpower, you're kind of wrong. Wow. So what would be good for him is to realize, wait, this isn't just a willpower thing. You know, like any addiction, there's a window where a craving survives and then it dissipates. So you got to figure out what you do with that craving, right? So the nicotine craving is so intense, and it's literally quadruple the amount of dopamine you get from one puff of smoke than you did from food. So it's harder. And there has to be certain things that you do. So the nicotine patch, whatever. But there's also this 4-minute window where that craving will dissipate, but you have to somehow refrain for four minutes. And we all know if you're starving, you would eat dirt, right?
Yeah, if you had to, sure.
Yeah. Sure. And there's that thing. It's a survival thing that kicks in. So you have to have support. You have to have a plan. And then his main thing, which I think is true for most of us who eat, we eat our feelings. We eat to avoid. We eat because we're bored. So emotional eating, generally, you can get help for that. You have to figure out how to feel your emotions, how to deal with your emotions, develop the skill set. We didn't develop because at 16, we burned through those calories and it didn't matter.
Right.
But now what is it that, and this is not truly about weight, because the weight will take care of itself to some extent if you stop emotional eating.
Yeah.
And you have to figure out what those emotions are, how to feel them, how to survive them, how to have a place in your life for the pain and or the emptiness or whatever it is you're trying to manage, and finding different ways to do it. I think it's interesting. Our society has it's sort of splitting in two directions, obesity and then the hyper fit. Like, holy.
Yeah. So far the other way running. That you've got a whole new set of mental
eating
trigger
disorders.
Problems. Yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely. And they're getting dopamine in its own form, and they're getting, you know, we can all say, oh, that's a healthier version. But I would say there's plenty of emptiness. People are running off.
Oh,
there's
yeah.
Plenty of emotion there.
Yeah.
And so,
they're
know,
running away from bad marriages. They're running away from
absolutely.
Children. They're running away from all kinds. Yeah, I see this a lot. In fact, I see it a lot more. Let me put it this way. Some of the nicest people I know in this whole world, you might call, quote unquote, fat. Some of the most terrible people I know are runners. it's true. There's not an
anti-running.
There's a little less nice going on. I'm not saying everyone's like that. Not in the least. I'm just saying that we should not get confused to think that if somebody's running around the track 4 miles a day every day and are obsessed with it, that all is well in Happy Town for them.
Right. I always, when people say, I love running, I do the ultra marathons or, you know, whatever, and I don't listen to music. I just think. And I'm always like, what demons are you running from? Like,
actual
there's
demons.
No way.
Yeah.
There's not enough to think about in 5 hours of running.
Yeah.
But, you know, and so that's, and my point in saying that is, of course, not everyone who is overweight is just eating their feelings. Not everyone who runs is a jerk.
Right.
And running from demons. But the idea really is that we're all very human. Some of us were just born with different genetic propensities and different metabolism rates. But I also think there's a bigger thing happening food-wise, honestly.
Mm.
We shouldn't be getting as fat as we're getting.
Yeah.
And I'm going to move to Sweden where everyone is trim, right?
No. Well.
And I'm going to find out what your secret is.
I've met a couple of fat Swedes. I'm just saying.
What?
I'm just saying. There's a couple out there.
But are they in America?
Well, it's funny because I was talking to Andreas the other
day. Andreas,
at the event. And he says, I think you are giving me all of your fat you are losing and giving it to me. And I don't know if that accent's even close. But the point is that he says since he's lived in New York, he's been here. I don't know how long he's been in the States total, but he's definitely seen a gain, but not changed much in the way in terms of his like frequency of eating habits and all that stuff. And he could clarify this better than I'm telling it. But there's something to what you're saying. I mean, some of it isn't just, oh, I'm here now I can eat like an idiot. It's just our food chain and the processed nature of it. And there's never been a better time to be alive in terms of you needing to get a hold of some food to sustain yourself. But in that process, we have, you know, everything's refined, everything's preserved, everything's, you know, so there's probably something to the idea that we are being fed food that will, if not put us there, at least contribute to putting us in a bad place.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I think that's a fair thing to assume.
Yeah. There's a training that happens. I mean, I look at my diet as a child till I swear 22 was peanut butter, cereal.
Candy.
All candy.
Yeah. Wendy's the, she's the candy man. Yeah.
Yeah. My college diet literally was like Otter Pops and colored yogurt and like tortillas. I would steal Taco Bell sauce from Taco Bell.
I love that. I love that it's colored yogurt, not flavored yogurt, but colored yogurt. Because we know there's yellow number five yogurt. Wow.
And wait, hold on.
You
want
Taco Bell packets? You would eat those?
Yeah. I would do tortillas and cheese and maybe turkey if I had money. And then Taco Bell sauce would make anything taste like you had a real meal, right?
Yeah.
So that was my eating habits until I became an adult, really. And then now I eat great food and love food and variety of food. So my kids, I mean, you should see Pete eat a meal. The kid will eat every vegetable off your plate. His favorite food is curry. Yeah. He's two.
Wow.
Yeah. He has a palate of, it's the most non-discriminating palate of all time.
Yeah, remember, this is a kid that had his intestines on the outside when he was born. Yeah. So
it's burning when it goes through. Sure. But he just is, and I think it's because it has a lot to do with what I expose him to and expect, right? And and I think that's the irony, everyone. I only ate peanut butter. Right. But I'm not weird about it. I'm like, eat it or don't. It's fine. But we're going to have curry because that's what I want tonight, you know? But I think there's some, maybe like the collective motherland of America. We're just sort of our palate. And it's changing. But you also have people on the extreme going like, you know, food purity weirdness too. I'm not saying.
Sure. But it swings there is something too far to be said. Both ways. Sure.
Yeah. But there's something to be said for sort of everyone's individual relationship with food. We should do a show on money because I love to talk about people's relationship with money. But same idea. We develop a relationship with food, and maybe it was used to control us when we were kids.
Yeah.
Maybe it was used as pleasure, or it was used for boredom, or it was...
Well, it was taken away as punishment, abundance. For sure.
Who knows? But it's potentially maybe the family's issue.
Ooh, that's a really good point, Brian. Mm-hmm. When I was a kid, mom would say, "Mom, are you still listening out there?" She would say to us, she'd say, "You guys, look, clean your room, or no sugar cereals for a whole week." You know, that'd be one of the punishments. I don't know if that was that good or was that bad. That was probably bad, right? Because
all I know is she would always say, "When it's gone, it's gone."
Yeah.
And I have said that.
You say that now? Oh, crap.
Oh, no.
Her internet's being pooed.
A couple times.
There you are.
And I feel weird. Yeah. I say it to my kids, like, it's gone, it's gone.
So you'll say,
Oh, sorry.
No, you're fine.
She'd say, when it's gone, it's gone.
Yeah.
Wow.
Are you there?
Yeah.
I can hear you now. It caught up. It was weird lag. You're fine. Okay. It's like a bird flew over your head or something. Who knows?
Could be playing with wire somewhere.
Yeah. Could be.
Anyway, when she would say it, when it's gone, it's gone. Like, I think that there's some, you know, it's sort of like, you know, eat it, enjoy it, but you're not getting more. So savor it. It's sort of a, I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, but I feel like when I say it to my kids now, they don't believe me.
Right. There's still more somewhere. They know it.
Yeah. Somewhere. Let's go to the store. You're like,
Nope. When it's gone, it's gone. Sorry.
So if I had to summarize for E, what he needs to do more than diet and exercise are great, but he needs to figure out what.
Oh, no.
Oh, crap.
We were just getting to the Jerry Springer wrap up.
And it hung up. Dang it. Okay, hold on. Let's get this back on.
This is the part that I was like, I'm going to write down for myself as well.
I know. This is the big moment. This is a big, big time here. I'm on my way. I'm making it. Hold on. Here we go. Click. There we go. You there, Wen? No, it's ringing. Crap. That's annoying. What I hear? Okay. Check quality. Okay. We're good. Maybe. Maybe her internet took a big poo.
Could be,
I'll try it again. Dang it. Big finish, man. We need to know where this is headed. Oh, there you are. Hello? Hello, Wendy. Hello.
Wendy.
Are you there? It says she's
there. Wendy.
Stupid internet. Nope. Call dropped. She must have hit some snaggers.
Oh, no.
Poo stinkers. Okay, there we go. Wendy. Hello. don't know what's going on. Check your mic. Make sure you're not muted if you can hear us, because we can't hear you. It's possible you cheeked it. Maybe not. I don't know. Oh, call dropped. That's not good. This may not go well. Starting to think we may be out of luck here. Such a good topic, too, man.
Oh, I know. I know.
I feel like one of our best here. All right, we'll try it one more time. That no worky. We'll pretend everything was fine. We'll edit all this out. No, we won't, because I'm too lazy. I'm not going to edit anything else. I'm not going back.
Exactly.
No. Don't do that.
You're ridiculous.
It is what you get, okay?
If we get her back, right? Look,
if you want your crap, well, I'll try her. I'll ring it, and we'll do some emails. How about that?
Okay, sounds good.
Oh, wait. Is that her? Wendy? Hello? I think that thing's dead. It says she's there. I don't know what's going on. All right, we'll do some emails real quick, and we'll see if we can get her for the tail end thing.
Sure.
And if not, we'll survive and get her next week. Let's do emails real quick. They're brought to you by
maniacalindustries.com. You've messed with us for the last time, Johnson, so we're giving another t-shirt away on Friday to someone who Twitters Squeery. That is hashtag Squeery. Huzzah! In other news, hail AIE, and shout out to Yummy Goblin for organizing old raid runs.
Oh, fun. You ever? I get the
old raid runs when I do Naxxramas.
I like that you pronounce it Naxxramas. That's pretty good.
Naxxramas.
Naxxramas coming to Hearthstone here.
Yes, a lot of buzz about that.
I'm excited because it's essentially a solo experience is what it is.
That's what I'm excited about too. That's what's going to get me back into it.
Me too. I think
and
the competitive
it's Thursday,
thing. Yeah.
And I am going to join.
Me too. We're going to run tonight.
The raid tonight. Cool.
Dude,
I'm in.
Gary Hellscream going down for our first time anyway.
Oh, you think so?
For me and you, yeah. Oh, they've got them pretty much on farm, so I think we'd be okay.
Wendy, think that's what they're doing tonight.
Wendy says she can hear us, but we can't hear her.
Oh, no.
Well, poop stink. Yeah, I don't know what happened.
Have her record a follow-up, like, last final thoughts thing, and we'll play it on TMSPM tonight.
Yeah, that'll work. All right. No worries, Wendy. If you can hear us, no stress. I'll say that real quick. No stress. Stupid Skype. Okay. Vert. All right. Let's do this email here.
Good.
And yes, we will raid tonight. If anyone's listening from our team, we'll be there.
We will be there.
Brian, I heard you talking about your webcam and how it doesn't move left to right. I've got a Logitech C920, which has the same fixed problem, meaning the fixed viewpoint.
Yeah,
right?
That's what I have too, the C920.
It says if you're running on a Mac, and you are,
mm-hmm.
try using the app Webcam Settings. If I remember right, it's like $5 on the App Store. Totally worth it. Allows you to zoom, pan, and tilt so the camera will see more than just straight on. Also gives you brightness, contrast, and saturation control. Works quite well. Have a great day, Eric.
So I looked at this last night. Obviously, it's not going to make the camera itself move, but it's going to allow you to zoom in on certain parts of the image that it's already getting. But something that's really interesting about this, I was looking at kind of some example photos from it, and it does some really interesting enhancement, like color enhancement, and it's pretty sharp. There are 7 positive reviews and 4 negative reviews saying, doesn't work. Don't buy it.
Weird.
It's also $8. So it's like a complete and total, like, cross your fingers and hope it works for you. But I'm going to do it. I'm going to buy it. And you know what? We'll try it out on tonight's TMSPM.
By the way, which will be at 3:30 p.m. today instead of 5:30.
This afternoon's TMSPM.
This afternoon, We have to do it early. I have a thing I have to go to across town.
Yes.
And we'll not be back until later that night. So
keep an eye out. As you're driving around Utah, keep an eye out for Brian Dunaway's Cintiq.
Oh yeah, he's been. It's actually Intuos. So his Wacom got lost, and we can't find it anywhere, and we don't know what happened. And Snowbird hasn't seen it. We haven't seen it. You haven't seen it. Didn't end up in somebody's box or bag, and
it's probably in the rental car. And they, you know, got Dave Michael's car back, and
that's depressing. I don't like the sound of any of that. But anyway, we hope we can find it. It's like a $500 piece of hardware. So if anyone knows its whereabouts, let us know. On the line with us, Cleo. Hello, Cleo.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm eating everybody's emotions.
Oh,
yay!
Good. Yay. The great emotion
eater. Fat girls represent.
Indeed.
What's up?
It was nice to see you over the weekend.
Thanks. It was good to see you guys, too. I had a great time.
Yeah, it was really cool. I know you had to leave a little earlier than last year, but it was nice to see you before the door hit you on the way out.
That's right.
Family's good? Everyone's good? Everyone's happy?
The family survived, which was nice. Nutritionally void of any kind of good stuff this weekend.
Yeah.
I think the only thing they ate that was green might have been grapes. But other than that, it was like a frozen pizza, Dorito, Cheeto type of weekend.
Grapes are nature's candy, you know. That's what those are. You know what my favorite fruit is right now, and I can't eat too many of them because for obvious reasons, but what's the kind of cherry that's kind of yellow and red mixed, like almost like a swirl? Oh, crap. Kim knows this.
Yeah, not like a Bing, but like a...
Not Concord, it's...
Yeah, but they're the cherries, right? They're yellow
and red.
There's
a name, like, yeah. Those are freaking so good. And they're in season right now. Go buy a bunch of those, man. So good. Oh, freaking love them. I want some now. All right. Cleo, it's good to have you on the show. You come on Thursdays and wrap everything up for us. Tell us what was funny during the week. And I hope we were funny. What'd we do? How'd it go?
You know, I am having a hard time getting my crap together. Sorry, Scott's mom. So I only have three of them this week.
All right.
Okay.
All right. So when Brian was telling the story about the winding mountain road, getting back to Colorado and late at night, before he announced that Bambi was in the middle of the road, another Jay Martin wanted to make sure it wasn't another baby bird.
Oh.
Womp, womp.
That'd be a huge, scary bird if it was.
Yes, it was. Yeah. If Utah is going to allow the growing of hemp to collect hemp oil and help those with intractable epilepsy, which, by the way, I have many things to talk about on that subject.
I'll bet, yeah.
Young Zach says that at next Nerdtacular, Smoke Monster is going to be amazing.
and that's what they're calling that cigar deal they do, right?
Yes, Smoke
Monster. Smoke
Monster,
yeah. Those guys. Good times. My clothes still stink.
Oh, my God. Brian is zooming all over the place. Holy shit.
Sorry.
Did you get app, Brian? Did you get the app while we were all sitting here?
I didn't even have to. I didn't even have to restart anything.
That's amazing.
Yes.
All right.
All of a sudden, he's doing the safety dance all over my screen. What is going on? Okay. Let's see what my last one is here. When Nicole was talking about that technique, the business of podcasting, where you refer to your business options as balls. Did you lose me?
A little bit.
God damn it.
It's all right. We got the best part. We got the best part.
You got the balls?
Yeah, we got the balls.
As long as everyone got the balls, that's what matters. Okay.
That was a great moment.
TV's Egon said that visualize your balls is my queen tribute act.
Ah, beautiful. Let's play that. We'll play that clip one more time.
So it's just a matter of kind of identifying those balls.
There you go.
There you go.
Those balls.
Right. Very nice.
That's a Mike Warr cover band.
Yeah.
My balls. Wow, I'm glad my mother's not listening.
Me too. No, well, wait. Shoot. Oh, crap.
Oh, no.
So, hey, Cleo, is that the last one? I'm sorry.
Was the last one.
Nice.
I'm a slacker this week.
That's fine. It's been a crazy week. You just got home. Everyone's settling back into their routine. It's always a pleasure. Coffee Please on Twitter. Go follow her. She has funny things to say. Let's talk next week at the same time, won't we? Shall we?
Bye.
Bye.
See ya.
Bye, Sickle. Oops, I called her again. Canceled.
Speaking of Queen.
Queen. Let's see. What are we doing now? Let's get back to the nothing here. We're done.
Business at hand.
We're finished. I do want to recommend.
Have done today,
yeah, I know, right? Oh, Tweaked Audio sponsoring today's show. Tweaked Audio, 5 great styles, 7 great colors designed to sound great no matter what you're putting in those things. If you're looking for compatibility, noise reduction, and durability, look no further than the lifetime warranted Tweaked Audio earbuds at tweakedaudio.com. With the code STREAM, you'll save 33%. That's STREAM at checkout for 33%. Brian, we're going to go. A reminder, 3:30 p.m. today, TMS PM live.
It's mountain time, the only time zone that matters.
It will likely not be posted right after the show like I usually do because I'll have to leave the minute we're done.
Sure.
But it will be up sometime either late tonight or early tomorrow. And, of course, this weekend we'll have all sorts of other shows. We've got Current Geek tomorrow as well as The Instance.
Yay.
And new Film Sack this weekend.
The Roger episode of Current Geek.
That's right. Two Rogers. Only one way out. Two Rogers, one cup. For information, your information, you can find us at the web, on the web at frogpants.com/TMS. We can be emailed at themorningstream@gmail.com and on Twitter @morningstream, @ScottJohnson, and @Coverville. New Coverville tomorrow?
Yeah, it's funny you say that because there was supposed to be one yesterday. And freelance, boy, I swear to God, it's freelance up the wazoo, and everybody has a deadline of today.
Yep.
You know, so it's like, hey, can you get that done by end of day Thursday? It's like, yeah. Oh, yeah, sure. So it actually kind of works out well that we're doing the PM earlier.
Oh, good. Well, I'm glad that helps.
Yeah. So things lighten up dramatically end of day today and tomorrow. I will finally do the long promised road trip Coverville, just as everybody's getting back from their road trip to Nurtacular, road trip from Nurtacular. Mm. However, come on, summer's just getting started, baby. You got time for another road trip. Sure. Why not take another one? I'm going to be taking another one in about a month. Yeah. Yay.
Are you doing Vegas in that? Because you got your trivia deal, right?
The Trivia Championships of North America.
We're considering trying to make that happen.
Oh, that'd be great if you could coordinate. Yeah. So we're going to be there from the 6th to the 11th. And I say we. It's really just me and my buddy Don.
Well, it'll be me and my buddy Kim, I think. I think
you and your buddy Kim?
Me and my buddy Kim. And I think the children's will. I don't know. We may bring them. I don't know.
Cool.
We'll see.
Oh, yada. Definitely.
We like the Vegas. And
I'd love seeing you.
We like the hot August. So.
And there are enough people out there or close to out there that we could do a little meetup-y thing and
sure.
Eat some secret pizza or something.
Yeah, Mitzula will be there.
Yes.
You can have the over-under on how many times I have to pee on my way in.
Gumby Waffles, is this your first time here? Says, oh my God, this dude loves Vegas.
Yeah, welcome to the last 4 years of our lives or whatever, how long it's been. That's going to do it then. We will now vacate the premises with a song of some kind. So give it to me.
This one is going out to Heather. Says, hi, Sleepy Bye and Binky. On Father's Day, my sister gleefully informed my dad that he's going to be a grandpa. I'm so excited to soon be an aunt. In honor of that, my brother-in-law and my niece or nephew to come, I was hoping you might find a great cover of one of our favorite Disney songs from when we were children. We're hanging out together on July 11th, that's tomorrow, and we'll likely be listening to the show together that day. If you could play it on one of the July 10th shows, I would much appreciate it. Bump will show, though. Clever. Very clever.
Good one.
Heather.
All right.
This I'm so excited about because this was an album that Dills let me know about during the Coverthon last Thanksgiving.
Oh, nice.
And I haven't gotten to play anything from it yet. So a band, and for those who don't know, Dills is way into the punk scene. I mean, dude even was a member of a band for a while. He played guitar for a band.
That's right.
And so he has great taste and great recommendations when it comes to that stuff. He recommended this band called the Suburban Legends, and they came out with an album in 2013, kind of an EP called Dreams Aren't Real, But These Songs Are, Volume 1. And it's a tribute to newer Disney music. So you're not going to get your covers of Bibbidi Bobbidi Boo and When You Wish Upon a Star and stuff like that, but it's going to be covers of newer things like Whole New World and Little Mermaid and stuff like that. I think there's even what was the television cartoon Disney is the Huey, Dewey and Louie, right? Rescue Rangers.
The other one before that. DuckTales.
Thank you. Yes.
DuckTales. Woo! Yep. Got it.
There you go. Thank you. Yeah. So back to Suburban Legends. This is a great EP. Check it out. On it is this fantastic cover of the song performed by Vanessa Williams for the movie Pocahontas. It is Colors of the Wind. It's Suburban Legends, and it's going out to Heather and her family.
I like Disney covers. This is great. Yeah. Here it is. We'll be back
today. This one rocks, so be prepared.
Be prepared, yeah. Today, 3:30. Be there, everybody. We'll see you then, and everyone have a fantastic Thursday. Thanks for being here. Bye.
Say I'm an ignorant savage. Been so many places, I guess it must be so. But still I cannot see if the savage one is me. How can there be so much that you don't know? Tree and creature has a life, has a spirit, has a name.
Come run the hidden pine trails of the forest. Taste the sun sweet berries of the earth. Come on in all the riches all around you. And for once, never wonder what it's worth. The rainstorm in the river are my brothers. The heron in the otter are my friends. And we are all connected to each other. In the circle of hope that never ends. Of the wind.
This podcast is part of the Frog Pants Studios Network. For more information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.